Lord, now we thank you. As Ed just prayed, we're so excited to open up your word and see what it means. We're so excited, anticipating what it will say, what its beauty will look like. Give us eyes that can see it and ears that can hear it. We ask this humbly and by faith, not doubting, not wavering. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning we come to the last of the six things. By now you know there's six things going to be accomplished in how long? 77s, we know this now. And here it is, 77s are decreed about your people and your holy city to make an end of the transgression, to seal up sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal vision and profit, and to anoint a most holy. Now we've seen so much already in the last 3 weeks in these first five things to be accomplished. Certainly, I hope that we're all have that sense of eager anticipation of like, if these were all so wonderful, then what will this be? What is this anointing of a most holy? And I want to help us see that I could come up here and probably in about 30 seconds, I could give you the answer and we could go home. But we're going to spend at least 45 minutes looking at the answer. And it's laying that foundation. It's helping us to enter into the answer in all of its complexity and beauty that builds up our faith, equips us to live life for the glory of God in this coming week. So remember how there are three matching pairs here. So the last of these pairs is this. 77s are decreed to atone for iniquity, and then matching that at the end is, and to anoint a most holy. So again, if you want to know the main point of the sermon, it's that. To anoint a most holy. There it is. Simple, plain and simple. And now the million-dollar question. And indeed, it is a million-dollar question. Truly. What? Or who is this most holy? Now, many times we can have our Sunday school answers, and sometimes we mock the Sunday school answers. We should never do that. That's probably right, right? The problem is the triteness with which we give our Sunday school answers. And so we come to see, well, what is the answer to this question? What is this most holy? The Hebrew for this expression, and if you want to learn a Hebrew expression, I even thought about having you say it with me, but maybe we don't want to do that. This morning, it's just this, kodesh, kodesh. D is a TH, the. So kodesh, kodesh. Or kodesh, kodeshim. Holy. Of holies. It's just a noun. We're going to do a little grammar this morning, but I only do grammar if I think it'll help and matter. So this is just a noun repeated two times in a row. Let's say the same thing twice. But very often, though it's a noun, it's used in a sentence not as a noun, but as an adjective. It's describing another noun. So they took a noun and said, no, I don't want to use it like a noun. I want to use this noun to describe as an adjective some other noun. And so listen for example to these verses. God gave these instructions to Moses at Mount Sinai. Are you there? You know the scene. You know what's happening. Make an incense blended as by the perfumer. You shall beat some of it very small and put part of it before the testimony, the Ark of the Covenant containing the Ten Commandments in the most, well, before the testimony, in the tent of meeting, where I shall meet with you. It shall be kodesh kodeshim, most holy. It shall be holy of holies for you. Now, there's no question, if you read that verse and I asked you, what is it that's most holy here? Could you give me the answer? It's a most holy incense. This is an incense. I'll tell you, here's an incense that is holy of holies. Now consider these other examples, and in light of what we just saw, see if you can trace a thread, a connection between all of these things that are most holy. Exodus 40. You shall also anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar so that the altar may become most holy. Kodesh Kodeshim. An altar that is holy of holies. Sometimes we think of holy of holies and we think of a room, a place, and we'll see it is that, but we see here that we have an incense that's holy of holies. We have an altar that's holy of holies. The rest of the grain offering shall be for Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy, a kodesh kodeshim, holy of holies of the Lord's food offerings. This is the law of the temple. The whole territory on top of the mountain all around shall be kodesh kodeshim, most holy, holy of holies. And then in 1 Chronicles 23, and the NASB is the only translation that gets it right. Aaron was set apart to sanctify him as most holy. Kodesh kodeshim, holy of holies. He and his sons forever. Now, I asked you at the beginning, I hope we didn't forget all along, did you see the thread? Did you see the common denominator in all of these things that are most holy? They're all connected with what? The tabernacle. With the temple. And so if we were counting, I'll just tell you that Kodesh Kodeshim refers most often to the altar. And to the sacrifices that were offered on the altar. It also refers to the incense, as we saw, offered on the altar of incense. It refers to the territory of the temple in Ezekiel's vision. In one place, it's used to describe all the utensils in the tabernacle worship, all the tabernacle furnishings, so the table, the altars, the lampstand, the basin, and even the tabernacle itself in your handout. Most holy. Finally, we see that in one place, it refers to the priesthood, to Aaron and his sons forever. I want to say, as we think about this, that we have lost in the church an understanding of this phrase, the most holy. Holy of holies. All has become common. All has become, in the biblical sense of the word, profane. The Bible calls us back to a recognition of holiness. Now, obviously, there wasn't anything intrinsically holy about these things. In other words, there wasn't anything magical about the incense. You didn't hold the incense and think, this got some holy property to it. They weren't holy in and of themselves because only God is holy like that. God is holy. That's what he is. It's who he is. The point here is that these things, how do you say the incense is holy then? Most holy even. Holy of holies. Because it's set apart from any kind, from in your handout, any kind of common or mundane use. Say, you're not allowed to use this incense for any other thing, any other time, only for this. It's only used for this. Set apart. And then also set apart unto the holy God, unto his service. And now, in particular, this is key. If you get it now, you'll hear it repeated throughout. These things were set apart to accomplish God's purposes in entering into fellowship. Fellowship. Covenant relationship with his people. And so in this sense, they weren't just holy, kodesh. They were most holy, kodesh, kodesh. So I'm reminded of this verse that I love. It's the Lord's words to Moses in Exodus 25. Let them make me a sanctuary, which assumes the furniture in the sanctuary, it assumes the sacrifices that go with the sanctuary, and it assumes the priesthood. Let them make me a sanctuary and everything that goes with it, so that I may dwell in their midst. And so everything that was connected with that sanctuary, that had a thread tying it to this sanctuary, and with this stated goal and purpose that God might dwell among his people and that we, his people, might enjoy fellowship with him. Everything was indeed most holy. So we come back now to Daniel. And we come to our passage and we see 77s are decreed to anoint a most holy. Now, if you're a grammar geek and you love grammar, you might already see something about this verse. The first thing we notice is that this phrase, kodesh kodeshim, is not being used as an adjective. As all the examples we just saw, this is not an adjective. It is not describing anything else, any other noun. There's no other noun for it to describe here. It's all by itself. We could say that it's used here as a stand-alone noun. To anoint what? To anoint, I'll tell you. A most holy. That's what. So now we ask, what's a noun? Well, the simple, elementary definition is a person, a place, or a thing. And so we wonder, a person, a place, or a thing? Everywhere else in the Bible, the answer to that question is never in doubt. It's always blatant from the context. So listen, for example, to these verses and see if you notice a thread running through these verses. Ezekiel 42. Now here's the noun. No adjective here. The north chambers and the south chambers are the holy chambers where the priests who approach the Lord shall eat the most holy. That's it. They shall eat the most holy. Now you can figure out from the context, we must be talking about food. Right? There they shall put the most holy. And if we didn't have it figured out, then it adds to make it explicit, the grain offering, the sin offering, and the guilt offering. We go to Numbers chapter 4. This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tent of meeting. The most holy, that's their service. The most holy. What? Well, context. When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary as the camp sets out, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to carry these furnishings. So this time, instead of the offerings that are holy of holies, it's the furniture in the tabernacle that is the most holy. I don't think we could repeat that phrase enough times this morning. We must grasp that concept again. 2 Corinthians Chronicles 4 says, Solomon made the sockets of the temple for the inner doors to the most holy, period. Now what? Do you know what it is now? You can figure it out, right? The doors in the temple tell me that this most holy must not be the offerings. It must not be the food or the furniture, it must be a place, a room. And so we see the theme. What is everything connected with when we have that phrase, kadash, kadashim? It's the tabernacle, the temple worship. And so if we're counting, the most holy refers most often to the most holy place. That inner room where the high priest went once a year, where the Ark of the Covenant was placed, It also refers to the sacrificial offerings, to the temple and tabernacle furniture. You're getting a sense for the flavor of those words. Everywhere else in the Old Testament, the expression "the most holy" is reserved. It is reserved. It's like even the expression "the most holy" is most holy. It is reserved for the things connected with the tabernacle. And we don't, our eyes don't glaze over when we hear the tabernacle, do they? We think, ah, the tabernacle, the place where God came down to dwell with us, and where the people came, even made pilgrimages to enjoy meals with God, fellowship with God. So let me ask you a question. When we read here in Daniel chapter 9, 70 sevens to anoint a most holy, what word would you supply? If you were Daniel, after a most holy. A most holy thing, a most holy one, a most holy place. Well, we know the answer, I think, by now. Daniel is thinking of a new and rebuilt temple. I mean, he's living in the day when the temple is lying in ruins in Jerusalem. And so he envisions, as he hears these words from Gabriel, a most holy place. A place where God would put his name forever and dwell among us forever. Where we could enjoy fellowship with God, like the real fellowship, true, real fellowship with God, in a Sabbath rest and jubilee that never ends, that's never cut short by exile, that's never cut short by the Babylonians come and desecrating and destroying the temple again. No, never ever again. Remember, Daniel begins this book, as I just pointed out, with the destruction of Solomon's temple in faraway Jerusalem, or the desecration of it. Remember, too, that as we've gone through Daniel, we've seen two temples, we know, in the future that are still going to be desecrated. So Daniel, let me get to my right guy. Daniel looks back and he sees the temple destroyed by the Babylonians. He looks forward now in his visions and he sees more temples being desecrated, and he longs for the day when there's a temple that stands and is not destroyed, where God's people fellowship with God in uninterrupted fellowship and communion. And that's what we have here, 77s, to anoint a most holy. One that will never again be destroyed, a most holy that will continue and remain in your handout forever. Remember, too, how the angel says, if you want, that 77s are decreed about your holy city. To anoint a most holy. What makes the city holy? It's the temple in the city. We've got to be talking about the temple, right? That's what Daniel's thinking. And then finally, we remember the matching negative. Remember that? In the first half of verse 29? So 77s are decreed to atone for iniquity and to anoint a most holy. Do you see the connection? Because if we've read our Old Testaments, we know that on the Day of Atonement, once a year, the blood from the sacrifice for atonement was brought into where? The most holy place. So the atonement and the most holy place go together here. What's Daniel thinking? A temple. A place. Daniel must, in your handout, must have understood this. 77s to anoint a most holy place. And so when you read in your ESV or your NASB or whatever else, it says a most holy place. Place is not there in the Hebrew, but they supply it. And rightly so, because that's what Daniel was thinking about. A new rebuilt temple that will continue forever, as a place where redeemed sinners can fellowship with God. But then there's this. And here's our problem. That's why I said this is a million-dollar question, because it matters to us as Christians and because everyone argues about this. We're not going to argue. We're going to delight. Everywhere else in the Bible, whenever this phrase functions as a standalone noun, I said we're doing a little grammar. It's only because it matters. When it's a noun, standalone, it always has the article, the boring old the. It always has the article, so it's this, kovesh ha koveshim, the most holy. But not here. This is the only place in all the Bible where there is no article, no the. The only place. In other words, what the angel should say, what I would, if I was stupid, I guess, I would correct the angel and say, I think you got that wrong there. I think you meant to say 77s to anoint the most holy place. And many versions of the Bible, recognizing this fact that it should have been that, it seems like it should be this, they translate it exactly so. They all add a the for the most holy place. Because after all, that's what it should say, right? And if this is referring to the most holy place, it should say the most holy place, as it does everywhere else. Only it does not say that here. 77s are decreed about your people and your holy city to anoint a most holy. And so on the one hand, it is impossible, if I am Daniel, it is impossible. Don't tell me for a second that he wasn't thinking of a temple rebuilt. A temple that was somehow, some way, fit in your handout. Fit for that day when the covenant breaking of God's people was no more, when sin was sealed up, when iniquity was atoned for, when everlasting righteousness had been brought in, when vision and prophet was sealed. If I'm Daniel, I am thinking of a rebuilt temple with sacrifice and priesthood that's fit for that day. And what a day that will be. And yet at the same time, if I'm Daniel, I cannot help but be wondering, what in the world such a temple could look like? Such a temple with sacrifice and priesthood. Let me ask you this. You answer this for me. If the transgression of God's people is finished, their covenant breaking is over, if their sin has been sealed up, the guilt of their sin taken away, if their iniquity has been atoned for, then what sort of temple could be fit for life lived under conditions like that? What sort of temple could be fit to accomplish all of those kinds of things? Because all the things we just mentioned, those are the things accomplished at the temple. That's where they're accomplished. But then once those are accomplished, what's the need for the temple? What kind of temple is fit for that? And I ask you, certainly, in your handout, what? What's the word? Not. Certainly not the temple with which Daniel was acquainted. Certainly not the temple with its constantly repeated sacrifices by a constantly renewed priesthood for the sins of a constantly covenant-breaking people. And so even as we cannot help but think with Daniel, be Daniel. Well, you think of the song, Dare to Be a Daniel. Maybe this is where we most need to dare for a moment to be a Daniel and think with him. What was he thinking? Rebuilt temple. Even at the same time, we can't help but wonder with Daniel, what would such a temple look like? We have to feel with Daniel the mystery of 70 sevens to anoint. And here's the grammar that it's the one exception, because there's a reason to anoint a most holy. And Daniel says, Kovesh Kovashim. A most holy that is somehow fit for that eternal Sabbath rest and the jubilee of all God's redeemed people. 77s to anoint a most holy. In the Bible, anointing with oil was just a visible way of consecrating, of setting apart a thing or a person to some holy or sacred use. So, kings were anointed, we know. Prophets were anointed. But we know in light of the connection with the Most Holy, we have to be thinking of things associated with the tabernacle or the temple. So we read this in Exodus chapter 30. You shall make a holy anointing oil. Blend it as by the perfumer, it shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and its utensils, and the lampstand, and its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, with all its utensils, and the basin, and its stand. You shall consecrate them that they may be kovesh, kovashim, holy of holies, most holy. And this fits perfect so far with our understanding that Gabriel's talking about a place, including all the most holy things associated with that most holy place. Then we read in the very next verse, I stop short, here we go. The next verse says, you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. So watch, along with the holy in your handout, along with the holy place and the holy things associated with that place, we also have a holy priesthood that's anointed with the same holy oil. We read in Exodus 29, you shall bring Aaron to the entrance of the tent of meeting. You shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Then you shall take part of the blood that is on the altar and of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons' garments with him. He and his garments shall be holy, and his sons' garments with him. And remember what we read in 1 Chronicles. Aaron was set apart to sanctify him as most holy, he and his sons forever. To do what? Burn incense before the Lord, to minister to him, to bless the people in his name forever. Do you see, when we say a most holy place, that's not just a bare room with four walls and a ceiling. The most holy place includes the most holy furniture in it, the most holy priesthood, the most holy sacrifices. The place assumes all of these things in your handout, all that God in his wisdom had ordained. Now, I might have thought, hey, I could get fellowship with these people with a whole lot less rigmarole, a whole lot less going on, a lot less complexity. Let's just simplify this. And no, God in his infinite wisdom ordained and knew the necessity of all these things that we might have fellowship with him, that he might come and know us and be with us, that God would desire to be with you and me. It's a thought beyond our imaginings. But he did and he does. Not because he's needy or needs us, but because purely of the sovereign choice of his grace and love. And so once again, if I'm Daniel, I have to be asking, what sort of temple? Complete with altar, and sacrifice and priesthood. You don't have a temple without those three things. You do not have a temple without altar, sacrifice, and priesthood. What temple could ever, ever be suited or fit for that day of eternal Sabbath rest and jubilee, when the transgression of God's people is finished, when their sin is sealed up, and their iniquity atoned for? Indeed, at what sort of temple could these things ever be accomplished? In Zechariah chapter 4, anointing with oil symbolizes, visually, being anointed with the Holy Spirit. We see the same connection in Isaiah 61. In the Bible, I just say, you're only anointed with, well, there are two exceptions, but in the vast majority, you're anointed with only two things, either oil or the Holy Spirit. And oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. So Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so we see the anointing of the tabernacle, the anointing of the altar, the anointing of the priest with the holy anointing oil is fulfilled. Fulfilled is not a word that we use for charts. It's a word that we use for faith. It is fulfilled in the anointing of Jesus with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was consecrated and set apart to be for us our temple, our priest, and our sacrifice. In this do you see the fullness and the richness and the wonder and the mystery of who He is. All of this fulfilled in Him, our temple, our priest, our sacrifice, our holy of holies. The point here is not His moral purity, though He is holy like that. The point is Jesus' holiness in the sense that He was set apart from every other purpose to be for us our temple, our priest, and our sacrifice. The one in whom God comes down to dwell with us, and through whom we draw near to fellowship with God. So we read in Matthew chapter 3, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and here, brothers and sisters, behold his anointing. The heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God, the oil poured out, descending like a dove, and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And so Jesus can say, something greater than the temple is here. The Hebrew word for anointed, you may know this, is Mashiach, Messiah. The Greek word for anointed is Christos, Christ. And so we have believed. And we have come to know with Peter that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed, the Holy One of God. I don't know about you, but you want to just stop and think how wonderful it is that you have believed and come to know that reality. And so I ask, do you see all the full riches that are in Jesus? So where the Old Testament looks forward to a rebuilt temple with sacrifice and priesthood that continues forever, this is what Daniel saw. And yet, even as Daniel asked his questions, we know the answer. We see the fulfillment of this most holy, this Kovesh Kavashim in Christ. John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Jesus said as he stood in the court of the temple, here he is in the temple, in the court of the temple, in Jerusalem, and this is what he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body, the fulfillment of that temple that was about to pass away forever. The Apostle Paul writes, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Christ, and through him then to reconcile to himself. Do you see the relationship, the fellowship there? God comes to dwell among us, and as he comes to dwell among us, he reconciles us to himself, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And so we see once more that the 77s have been fulfilled. 77s, the angel said to Daniel, are decreed to anoint a most holy. Do you see the riches in that phrase now, in these words? And so I want to ask again, and I think it's in your handout, or you can just listen and ask it, even just ask it honestly of yourself. What sort of temple? Ask it as if you were Daniel. What sort of temple, complete with sacrifice and priesthood, could ever be fit for these days? When the covenant breaking of God's people is ended, when the guilt of our sin has been sealed up, when iniquity has been atoned for once and for all, what sort of temple, what kind of place could be fit for these days when everlasting righteousness has been gifted to us, when vision and prophet have been sealed because we all have the Spirit? Indeed, at what sort of temple could these things ever be accomplished? Because these things are only ever accomplished at the temple. And we answer with joy. Only the temple, complete with sacrifice and priesthood, that is Christ. So I ask you 4 questions. Do you see in Christ your all? It's not just a fancy question, dramatic question for any kind of effect. I mean it. Do you see in Christ your all? Do you know the amazing peace and joy of drawing near to God through Christ by faith? Are you every day enjoying fellowship? And I asked myself this question, Timothy, am I every day enjoying that fellowship with God that has been bought for me and provided for me through my temple, my priest, my sacrifice, Jesus Christ, by faith? Have you found, and are you finding in him, your Sabbath rest in these days, your Sabbath rest and your jubilee? Dear Heavenly Father, help us not to move past, to go beyond the teaching about Jesus, our Messiah, our Anointed One, our Holy of Holies, that place where we come now. And in fact, we don't journey there any longer. That place that is with whom we have now been united in a union by your Spirit through faith. Help these things not to be true of us, and yet we don't live day by day by faith in the experience of their realities, knowing the peace that passes all understanding that comes to us through this, knowing the joy that exists in the midst of every sorrow, knowing the love that this produces in us for our brothers and sisters in Christ and for the lost and dying world around us, knowing the passion and zeal that this should produce and stir up in us for your glory in this wicked and sin-infested world. Teach us to find in Christ our all. Teach me. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.